Radio EcoShock.
I'm Alex Smith, and I'm angry. There are lots of sick and ugly things in this world, along with tremendous beauty and love. But there are two giant projects which I know offend God if there is one. The first is blowing the tops off mountains and plowing the rubble into nature's valleys. The second is the largest and most polluting industrial project on this earth, the Canadian tar sands. The big oil companies are spending millions, even hundreds of millions of dollars to convince you they produce what they call ethical oil. They can afford it. They make a couple of billion in a quarter, just one company. It's everywhere. News columnists blather on about the wonderful oil sands and why we can't live without them, never mind the full-page ads from tar sands companies in that very same newspaper. I can't even go to a movie without seeing Hollywood-quality ads with butterflies and forests all around the new, clean, green tar sands operations. Here is the other side of the story, a quick clip from a talk by Mike Mercurdy, an Aboriginal man from Fort Chippewa, downstream from the tar sands.
My name is Mike Mercurdy. I'm a member of the community of Fort Chip. And Fort Chip is what we're calling the ground zero. It's a sacrifice zone. A sacrifice zone for this oil to be produced. And from it, it extracts poison. Poison into the water, into the air, the land, the trees. Now the people are dying. I buried my auntie just this year. I buried my uncle a couple years back. I got an auntie right now living with cancer. There's no known cancers in our family. Cancer doesn't exist in our family. Just in the last 15 years, all of a sudden cancer's popping up. But this is just not just my family. Although this is directly affected to me, which brings me here. And it's unfortunate that I have to be here. And I shouldn't be here. I shouldn't be here coming here to tell you that my people are dying. I shouldn't be here coming to tell you that I'm facing genocide. That your own countrymen are dying from this resource. This dark resource. This tar sands. This oil sands. It's a dark resource.
I recorded that in 2008 when we had no experts to back him up. Listen to the whole Radio EcoShock program, Climate Terrorism, the Tar Sands. Three speakers recorded December 5th in Vancouver. It's listed on our 2008 show archive page at ecoshock.org. But as you will hear in this program, they are lying about being able to reclaim land to their former natural state. The oil companies and the governments who collude with them are faking and hiding the health effects. The whole tar sands operation is a world-scale Ponzi scheme which will bankrupt future generations with the costs of cleanup, if any remediation is possible. Or they will do what most mining companies do, leave a massive open scar upon the earth, all for the quick quarterly profits of foreign multinationals. Who says so? According to the Canadian Prime Minister, Stephen Harper, and his Environment Minister, anyone who criticizes the tar sands is just a foreign-funded radical, unpatriotic environmentalists and such. Let's meet one of those radicals. Here is the introduction to Dr. David Schindler before his speech in Vancouver on March 28, 2012.
I want to welcome you to this series of lectures on Planet Under Stress, organized by Dr. Patricia Gallagher and Laurie Wood from SFU's Center for Coastal Science and Management. We are particularly fortunate to have as our speaker this evening Dr. David Schindler, Killam Memorial Professor of Ecology at the University of Alberta. His distinguished research record in limnology, ecology, aquatic ecosystem science has been recognized, of course, nationally and internationally by an absolutely astounding number of honors and awards, such as, at a minimum, 10 honorary degrees, a Fellow of the Royal Society, Officer of the Order of Canada, just to name a few, as a Sanford Fleming Medal Award winner, and I quote, to a scientist who is able to bridge the gap between the lab and the people. This last accolade, I believe, is especially important one if you are properly to understand the cumulative impact and significance of his research for Canadian society. In many ways, Dr. Schindler is what I would refer to as a scientific sleuth, with a wonderful ability to identify smoking guns when it comes to identifying complex cause and effect relationships in aquatic ecosystems. Arguably, he has made and continues to make important contributions to what I would call action science, where the best of evidence-based scientific research is used to promote environmental amelioration and mitigation strategies through public action. Among his most noteworthy accomplishments is the leadership role he played in 1968 as a Canadian federal research scientist in what was termed at the time in the large-scale Whole Lakes experiments. He and his colleagues clearly identified the role of phosphorus in freshwater lake eutrophication. Policy change soon followed in banning the release of high phosphate detergents and the use of phosphorus in sewage treatment plants in the Great Lakes Basin. Other examples of this penchant for action science include identifying the clear link between cold fire plants and acid rain, for which he received the Order of Canada in 2004. More recently, he has been a firm critic of the destruction of the Canadian boreal forest, arguing, and I would certainly agree with this, that the value of carbon storage in the boreal forest is worth many times more than what we get back from boreal industries. And within the context of the growing scarcity of water in the prairies, he has warned about the environmental impact of a rapidly expanding agricultural sector as climate change alters the basic parameters for sustainability. And his work on the contamination of surface waters, notably in the Athabasca water from the oil sands development, and its impact on fish habitat and health have forced action on the need for better monitoring.
That is the wild-eyed radical the Prime Minister fears, a lifelong scientist who helped clean up the Great Lakes from phosphorus, who proved the source of acid rain, a world-recognized and heavily awarded expert, David Schindler. David is no fly-in academic from New York. He lives in northern Alberta. He's fished in the many streams threatened by the proposed Enbridge Northern Pipeline. He measures the water and the air, finding pollution governments denied. I'm going to summarize some of the surprising revelations in this speech, bolstered by selected audio. For example, did you know the tiny amounts of supposedly reclaimed lands by the companies can never be returned to their previous state, because the mine tailings are just too salty? I also didn't realize the biggest source of pollution is actually airborne. We'll learn about all that and more in this workshop from Canada's top tar sands expert, a quiet but devastating critic of the world's dirtiest source of oil. The government won't investigate the many deaths on the reserves. The former Alberta caribou herds will never return. The forests are being stripped in an area projected to be larger than the state of Florida when it's all said and done. Countless tons of methane are burned and released just to get the oil out of the sands, more greenhouse gases. The corrosive raw oil is carried in a network of pipelines, tankers, trucks, and famous spills. It's an industrial spider web reaching down into the United States, indeed all over North America. Wherever you live in the world, the tar sands are wrecking your atmosphere as the single largest industrial source of greenhouse gases on the planet. The damage can be seen from space and will last for thousands of years. Welcome to your secure energy source, your damned ethical oil. David Schindler begins with the tailing ponds, some of which are just meters away from the Athabasca River. According to Tar Sands Watch, every square meter of oil-bearing bitumen mined creates 6 square meters of tailings. These are tossed into toxic lakes, now covering more than 55 square kilometers, over 13,000 acres and growing rapidly. The tailing dike of just one company, Syncrude, is the world's second largest dam. Only the Chinese Three Gorges Dam is larger. Here is David Schindler.
They're not ponds anymore. It's more like a toxic Great Lake. And the technology of how to process tailings from bitumen without creating those seems to be eluding the companies. This is the Athabasca River. As you can see from the small panel on the left side, it crosses Alberta diagonally, starting in the headwaters in the Rockies, and then it turns north right at Fort McMurray, which used to be a sleepy little trapping town when I started working there in the 1970s, flows straight north to the Peace Athabasca Delta, where it flows into Lake Athabasca along with the Peace River. And it's such a lush delta that there are about 3,000 native people there, and they've lived there for thousands of years. The size of the area of Alberta that can be exploited for oil sands is huge. Doesn't look much like much on an Alberta map. And I'll be talking mostly about this small pink area, which is the area that they can surface mine. But the new greenwash is, oh, we're not going to do that kind of damage to the rest out in this red area. But the oil sands are roughly the size of the country of Greece. And given the state of Greece in the EU right now, maybe we could make them a trade. I think it would be a pretty good trade.
David then makes several key points.
Well, the last few years, there's been rather shameless promotion of the oil sands. Alberta Environment's budget for ecology on the Athabasca River was $300,000 last year, but their propaganda budget for promotions was $25 million. So it gives you an idea of what's going on, and the sorts of things that are being said are illustrated on this slide, one of our former premier's talks, and it sounds like the current premier is going to continue with this sort of promotion. The result of that has been an exponential increase in development. We're here right now, and all of these arrows over on the right side are other developments that have already been approved. So Fort McMurray has grown from 7,000 to where now it's about 77,000. And in addition, there are about 50,000 people in work camps by their best estimates. They'd estimated there was 30,000, and when they actually did a census, they found about 45, and they weren't sure they got them all. So the true number in those camps is probably around 50,000 people. Well, 7.5% a year is what that works out to as an exponential. That's a doubling time of every 10 years if you use a compound formula. That's twice the rate of development of any sane development. Infrastructure just can't keep up, which is why there are buildings falling down and roads can't handle the traffic and hospitals can't accommodate the people. So it's a pretty strange sort of development going on. And the spin is that Canadians make a lot of money from the oil sands. But this is a report that was released last week, figures through 2010, by the Parkland Institute at the University of Alberta. And you can see here the overall profits in the oil sands the last few years have been in the $30 to $40 billion a year range. The blue and the green down here are what Canadians get out of that. So it's the order of less than 10% of the overall profits. All of this red area is going to companies. So it doesn't make a lot of sense. The reason for that, and this is also from the same report, is that over the lifetime of the tar sands, the royalties, the proportion that Albertans get, has gone down, down, down. In Peter Lougheed's day, we were getting around 30 and as high as 40% at that peak. They were reduced under Don Getty, a bit more under Ralph Klein, and they took a big dive under Ed Stelmach. So you wonder what's next. So right now we're getting about 12% of the profits being made there. So you see strange equations like we hear talk about all these riches, but we're told the Alberta budget is $6 billion in the red. And yet every time you pick up a paper, there's another company reporting a quarterly profit on the order of $2 billion. Something is wrong with this picture. This is the Parkland Institute's take on it, that no wonder all these companies want to get in on the oil sands. It's a really good deal. They're tripping all over themselves to get in on the action. And we're told that cumulative effects assessment is being done, but I can't see it. You could fly a plane load of village idiots handpicked for low IQ around the world over this area and ask them, do you see any cumulative impact? I think they'd all say yes. So by continuing to tell us this, they must think we've all just fallen off a turnip truck.
From the recording March 28th in Vancouver, here's what David Schindler says about ethical oil.
We also hear a lot about this ethical oil, how we have to buy Canadian oil rather than this nasty oil from countries where they mistreat their women. Somehow I don't think it's any worse to mistreat a woman than it is to mistreat both sexes of all the Aboriginal people. And exporting 70% of the take to the U.S. when our own eastern coast has to rely on those same unethical sources of oil. Meanwhile, if you're under 40, you're going to pay for this development, as I'll show you later. The scheme is clearly that the profit will be made by my generation. We're going to scram out of here and be pushing up daisies when time comes to pay the bill. I'll show you some figures that illustrate that clearly later on. And is it ethical to rely on propaganda to sell the oil sands to Canadians and to people offshore rather than putting it into some environmental science? This is one of the people now who's branded any green groups and by insinuation anybody who would dare say anything against the oil sands is radical extremists. So I guess I'm a radical extremist. And we have a whole cabinet full of these folks right now. I don't think these green groups deserve a lot of credit for what's happening in the oil sands. The voices that I listen to are Peter Lougheed, the guy who started the oil sands, who about 3-4 times a year is quoted as saying the oil sands development should slow down. Or people like our former environment minister, Jim Prentice, who says that the Keystone Pipeline shows a need to improve its record after several oil spills were revealed. Those are the folks that I think people listen to, not Greenpeace, or they listen to companies. And companies are not doing themselves any favor. Can you imagine Greenpeace, with all its foreign funding, getting the kind of press that having 1,600 oil ducks on the front page of every newspaper around the globe for a year did, along with some absurd proclamation by some high-powered lawyer that it was the duck's fault? This is what Syncrude chose to do to itself, rather than quietly paying a fine and getting out of the press. So we don't need green groups with the kind of antics we see from our politicians and companies in the oil sands. They're doing a fine job of giving themselves a black eye.
Okay, now we're going for a long walk through David Schindler's presentation. He talks about cancer in the native people, how the industry-sponsored river testing found nothing, no contaminants, from the super-polluting smokestacks or the tailing ponds. His own team of scientists found a wide range of heavy metals and toxic polycarbonates the industry and government somehow failed to detect.
Well, the focus of a lot of attention has been the alleged increased cancer rates in Fort Chipewyan. I started hearing about those in the 1990s. I've worked up there off and on since the 70s, and was rumored that more and more people were dying of cancer. By the 1990s, the evidence was strong enough that the Northern River Basin study, which had a number of eminent scientists and a number of eminent citizens on it, recommended that it was time to do a detailed health study. But nobody did. The government just deep-sixed the report. And then early in this decade, the local physician up there sounded the alarm that he thought there were a high number. And he was, of course, stripped of his practice and heavily discounted and moved to Newfoundland for a period. Luckily, he was exonerated in the end and he was back. But the first detailed study that was done was by the Alberta Cancer Board in just 3 years ago, and they did indeed find a higher rate of cancers. Not a lot higher. It's possible that the number is due to chance, but again, they recommended a health study because it was close enough, it was high enough on the end of probability that there was reason for some concern. But the government's position in Alberta has been, well, it can't be caused by the oil sands because nothing from the oil sands gets into the river. We have it all totally blocked. And if you were to believe them, all of the pollutants in the river would be coming from little seeps like this. And there are lots of these in the banks of the Athabasca and its tributaries. They were places that Aboriginal people used to stop and tar their leaky birch bark canoes. But that would also mean that there was nothing coming out of the atmosphere. Yet there are two big upgraders up there that burn coke and smelt bitumen, which has a periodic table full of contaminants, many of them toxic. And the reason I thought that was of concern is that 30 years ago I chaired a panel for the U.S. National Academy, which looked at this problem worldwide, and we did not find a single source of fossil fuel burning or smelting that did not discharge a host of contaminants to the atmosphere, toxic trace metals and organic compounds, and they fall back into the biosphere at various distances from the source, depending on their properties. So, and some other things, nothing's getting into the river, but same companies saying that are reporting to the National Pollutant Research or Release Inventory that their output from those same stacks has tripled in 8 years. All you have to do to check up on this company now, thanks to EcoJustice and a few environmental groups, is Google on the letters NPRI, and you'll get this huge spreadsheet of the periodic table versus your favorite companies, and you can see over time how much they've been putting out. So somehow the companies were reporting they were putting this out, but it's mysteriously disappearing. And also, if you believe that it's all those little seeps, that means that developments like this, this is the Athabasca River at the bottom, are yielding nothing to the river. And for somebody who's worked on watersheds for 40 years, Watershed Science 101 is that you strip the soils and vegetation, expose the underlying fresh geology, put rain and snow on it, and the runoff magically increases in any elements that are in that fresh geologic substrate. That had to be what was happening. This little orange barrier is like the things that you see in road ditches when they're scooping out the ditches. And this is the Athabasca. There's a lot more of this going on in the tributaries that are mined. In some cases, they're scooping the tributaries right out. Another warning sign, this regional aquatic monitoring program that's industry-sponsored has been doing the monitoring since 1997. This doesn't show up too well. I chose the wrong color, but this quote is, I think, pretty telling. This was a 2004 review. There's no overall regional plan. There are clear questions that weren't being addressed. Significant shortfalls with respect to statistical design, on and on and on. That was a warning sign for me a few years ago, yet that report was never made public until Andrew Nikiforuk found it, put it on the web, and made it visible via his book. But RAMP was reviewed a second time during this past year when we had half the scientists in Canada, it seemed, doing panels. This is the URL if you want to look at it. They found that RAMP had fulfilled one of its seven objectives. They had found in this 2004 review that it had fulfilled none of its seven objectives, but the one it had fulfilled was to get itself re-reviewed. So other than that, it was the same report, just as scathing as the 2004 report. Another warning sign is this group of stars represents the provincial monitoring plan. When they found that RAMP was not doing such a great job on organic pollutants, they decided to monitor them. This is their $300,000 program. The five-sided stars are on the Athabasca, and the four-sided ones are on tributaries. How you can separate the effects of industry and natural sources by having one site at the mouth of a tributary is beyond me. I haven't figured that one out in 50 years of doing science. So to me, that was another warning sign. So with all of the things I just showed you, I had lunch with the minister in 2007, and he just waved all those arguments away. And we have 4 million data points on the river. It's the most comprehensive monitoring program anywhere in the world. Everything's under control. So three of us decided we'd do our own study. The three of us, Jeff Short, who's a scientist with the U.S. National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, and Peter Hodson, who's a toxicologist at Queen's, and I met because we were hired by the Alberta government as experts to help design the program for Lake Wabamun after Canadian National Railway spilled 7 cars of Bunker C into the lake. And in comparing the contaminants and the effects, our conversation turned to the Exxon Valdez, which Jeff had been studying for 20 years, and the oil sands, where Peter had done a lot of toxicology and produced several PhD students. So we got some money from the Walter and Duncan Gordon Foundation and the Tides Foundation, and hired Erin Kelly, who'd done her PhD with me a few years before on mercury, to do our own field study. And we chose to do several sites on the tributaries and more on the Athabasca.
This is Radio EcoShock. That was Dr. David Schindler, an internationally renowned scientist. He's talking about his team research into the pollution from the tar sands. I hope you got one of the stories Schindler explained, as I understand it. Dr. Schindler and other scientists could not accept the industry-funded, government-approved studies saying that none of the dirty pollutants from the tar sands operations could be measured in the Athabasca River or its tributaries. They found that alleged testing set up measuring stations either upstream of the operations or far down the river near the mouth at Lake Athabasca, where dilution would be greatest. The testing method that was used had a baseline or used techniques which eliminated low levels of contaminants. Contaminants that we now know can lead to cancer. Three scientists, David Schindler, Jeff Short of NOAA, and Peter Hodson, a toxicologist at Queen's University, took their own samples. These included sites near the tar sands operations for once. This independent team used better testing methods. They found low levels of many, many toxic substances, especially near the so-called upgrader plants, where air pollution is strong and obvious. This is a scandal. The First Nations people living downstream from the tar sands complained for years their families were dying of cancer. Industry and the government told the victims there was no pollution in the water. As I said earlier, Radio EcoShock on December 5, 2008, ran three speeches on the impacts of the tar sands. One of the speakers was Mike Mercurdy, who told us of his many friends, relatives, and close family members who died of cancer. You aren't going to hear the dirty truth about the tar sands from any authority, and certainly not from the millions spent on propaganda by the multinational oil companies digging out the tar. This is Radio EcoShock at ecoshock.org. We are out of time for this week, but not out of ammunition. In an upcoming Radio EcoShock show, you'll hear more from famous scientist David Schindler. He'll tell us why the heavily advertised restoration of the scoured landscape is fake. Remaking nature is not possible, and it's not going to happen. The native people like Mike Mercurdy knew that all along. They live there, they eat the polluted fish, they are breathing the polluted air.
They're sugarcoating it into something that We think it's not. But to tell you, it's BS. Everything they say about it being, it's the reclaiming the land? No, they're not. The water is okay? No, it ain't. Is the air all right? I don't think so. Because if these things that we're consuming and living with is killing us, and you're telling us that it's okay, you might as well come give put a gun to my head. A quick death would be a hell of a lot more easier than a slow, hard, painful death in a thing like cancer. So think about these things. Thank you.
Keep your ears out for more on the Canadian tar sands, the world's single largest source of pollution, on Radio EcoShock. I'm Alex Smith. Thank you for getting real about your world.